This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
It's that time. Your fix is here. College football is a year-round discussion with these two. Here's JC and Morgan. Mike Morgan of ESPN and JC Sherbert of 24/7 Sports have you covered, beginning right now.
And a good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you are listening to us, whether it's live or whether it is on several platforms at your convenience, we offer it to you. It's installment number 239 of JC and Morgan. If you're scoring at home, you can be listening to us on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play. You can be watching and listening on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. You can go back and listen and watch any of these, and you can get a little bit more of a synopsis and everything else that's going on with JC and Morgan on jcandmorgan.com. Lots to get to today. We're going to go guestless. I guess technically you could have called last week's show a guest host, so that would have kept the DiMaggio-like streak of consecutive shows with a guest on, and we'll get back to the guest line too, but every now and then I want to break free and just let us cook, because there's a lot to cook here, JC, and a busy off season. Our thanks again, by the way. Jeff Dancer was terrific. Number of you enjoyed that as well. Jeff certainly covers Georgia and is entrenched there in Georgia Bulldog athletics, but also keeps up with a whole lot of other stuff as we do on this show. Today is a fun day for me because we're going to get to a lot of stuff. First off, every now and then I will hear, when's the Fiverr Dimer coming back? We only have so much time. We try to get these things done within 90 minutes. Sometimes we go a little long, sometimes we go a little short, but there was just nowhere to fit it. It doesn't mean that the segment wasn't popular, and you folks seem to really, when we threw that out there, I didn't know how it would go. I have a weird fascination with certain movies, but I thought maybe it would just be like, okay, if nothing else, JC and I are going to have a good time with this. Well, you folks apparently loved it too. So we're bringing that back, final segment of this show today. There is some news, including big news reported by Pete Thamel, who I promise we will have on this show, trying to get Pete on because he's constantly breaking stories because there's constantly stories to be broken in the world of college athletics. But he'll join us. But he and one of his comrades at ESPN are basically breaking a story that I don't know if people realize how mammoth it can be, because it's getting lost in the NFL draft and the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs, all that kind of good stuff. But, I mean, basically, college sports leaders right now are apparently very close to settling an NIL antitrust case versus the NCAA, which could potentially cost every university about $20 million. Like, this is not a small potatoes deal once you break through the minutiae of the story. But JC, first off, welcome back. It's great to have you back. And you're in Studio North, I can tell from the background. I'm in Studio South. Got a little Remember the Titans in the backdrop if you're watching on YouTube. By the way, the quote that I have under my name, Water is for Cowards. If you're a Karen out there and you're worried that I'm insisting that your young boy or young girl dehydrate themselves to an untimely death, that's not what we're looking to do here. It's just a quote from Denzel Washington in the movie Water is for Cowards. So hope you can appreciate that. If you saw the movie,
stay hydrated. Folks.
Yeah.
And things have evolved throughout time about that. It used to be don't do water cause it's going to give you cramps or whatever. And then it was like, oh my God, you need to do a bunch of water and stay hydrated. And I don't know. I mean, I'm pro water.
We're very pro water on this show. We're not afraid to admit it. I mean, we don't take many political stances on this show, but I will tell you, if we had a referendum for us and the entire staff at JC and Morgan, we are pro water and not afraid to come out publicly and declare that.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to get into any other issues, but we're pro water on this show.
Yeah,
JC, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to accept like Aquafina Flavor Splash.
Yeah.
I didn't like that too much.
Yeah.
Flavor Splash or whatever. It's Aquafina Flavor Splash. Oh, my goodness. Oh.
I like a little flavor in my water, and there's
lemon. Yeah.
Yeah. If it's lemon, I'm all in. I love me some lemon. I'm not afraid to put lemon in water at a restaurant. And sometimes that's all I need. That's my get up and get me go. And sometimes, of course, the wait staff looks at you like, I got to pour water and I got to get a lemon wedge. Really? All right. Like, I'm sorry. You know, I'm a good tipper, but if I ask you for a water with a lemon wedge, just take care of me.
The price of tea is not going up that much either. And I mean, it's a nickel to make a glass of tea, and tea is $4. I'm a big tea guy. I don't drink soft drinks at restaurants. I'm either having like an adult drink and a water or a tea or a water. Yeah. That's
tea
just kind of my go-to.
I mean, living in the South for most of my life, I love me some sweet tea, but man, oh man, they load that up with sugar. Like it's your last meal on death row. Like,
believe it or
care.
Not, I drink unsweet tea because I got married. First time I got married, and I guess it was her family was from the North and they couldn't drink the sweet tea. So we had unsweet tea and I drink that just like water. I mean, it's so I get pissed off if I get sweet tea. People up here think that's what I want because
of course.
But I'm like, no. And I know that's blasphemy.
That is blasphemy.
But look, man, when I was a kid, I drank more Beacon tea. If you don't know what Beacon tea is in Spartanburg, it's basically the sweetest tea you'd ever have mixed with the sweetest lemonade you'd ever have. I drank enough of that to fill an ocean. So I've had my fill of it in life. but as I've gotten older, it's just too sweet. And I don't drink fully loaded Cokes. I mean, I'll drink Coke Zero or Cherry Coke Zero or something like that. But anyway, I want to give a shout out to Curtis from Austell, Georgia. He jumped in today. He must have maybe heard the show yesterday where he said we need to do a roll call. So always good to hear from folks from the Metro tuning us in the greater Atlanta area. We love the audience we have there and want to continue to expand it. So spread the word down there, Curtis, about JC.
No doubt. You know, for those of you on the Chief Sports app, the burgeoning sports network, the purveyor being Jamie Bradford, I don't think we got the update out this morning, so a lot of you will not be listening live. But we love the live audience, and we love the live interaction. So we'll keep that going. There's one other thing. Oh, by the way, Arnold Palmer, unsweet tea. With the lemonade, that's my go-to. Just if we're going off topic,
Chick-fil-A will throw diet lemonade in it for you, which is no sugar at all.
Yeah. guilt-free.
They call it a sunburst or something. They gave it a name. I was like, don't give it a name.
Yeah, you don't need a name on that. Don't get too cute. By the way, I got to say this real quick. I went 10 years without going to a hockey game. We don't have hockey in Atlanta anymore. But I spend time. I work a lot in Nashville, either doing a Vanderbilt game in some sport or an NFL game for the Titans. And I did two Titan games on radio this year, and each time I went to a Predators game and loved it. And then I've spent quite a bit of time in the spring in South Florida, and last night I went to my first ever playoff hockey game and my second ever Florida Panther game, and they knocked off the Tampa Bay Lightning to advance, and Florida's one of the favorites this year. They have never won the cup. I think Tampa's won three. I don't know much hockey. I don't watch it on TV. But damn, if it's not entertaining in person. And I have to say this, of the pro sports, and I've had the privilege of broadcasting the big three, NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball. And I've gone to several games in those three in my life. And I love all of them, right? It's like asking me to pick between my children. If I had three kids, like, which one do you love the most? It's a common question that I get. I think an NHL game is the closest thing to a college football environment that you have. The crowds are just different. The way they react to things is just different. The traditions that they have are just different. If you go to an NHL game, I'm telling you, it's the closest thing to a college football vibe of all the pro sports. You don't get that with MLB. You don't get that with NBA. And you don't get that even with NFL. And I love the NFL, but it's just a different deal. Two different cultures, two different everything. But the NHL, it all the little things that they do, and the way the crowd is so amped, and the way the music is played, it's almost like having a college band. And the traditions, you know, in the case of the Panthers, they throw rats on the ice after they win a game. It goes back 30 years when they started. And a lot of NHL teams have those type of traditions and weird things that they do. And the way the crowd stays immersed into it, it's very much like a college football game. That just like, it just dawned on me last night. I'm sitting, thankfully, courtesy of a good friend of mine, in a suite. First time I've been in a suite for a hockey game. Cause he's big time. I'm big time by proxy in that case last night. But it was unreal. But I kept thinking, like, this is like a college football environment. It has the same juice and same buzz in the building. So, look, I'm not here to be the ambassador for NHL, but I know I can't name you five players, but I've been thoroughly entertained. I've been to four hockey games in one season, which is four more than I'd been in the last decade. At any rate, tell you what else I'm passionate about. I have a problem. I admit this every year. But since the early 90s, since I was a teenager, I watched the NFL draft. And I don't just like watch it like many people do. Like, hey, let's see what's on. Oh, it's a commercial. I'll go back to something else. Hey, there's our Family Ties marathon on Samsung. I can respect that. By the way, Tina Yothers, good gracious. Did anybody teach her how to act? She's on that show for like 10 years. It's just painful to watch. Sorry, Tina. I'm sure you're a great person, but my goodness, did you take a single lesson at all before you got that gig? But I watch every pick. Okay, seven rounds. Do I sit there and watch them all live? No, I have things I've got to do, but then I go back, I DVR. And JC, I'm fascinated by it. And again, it's where college football and pro football intersect, and I love that aspect of it. And it drew 14 million Thursday night, I believe the first round. I think it was the highest, that's a higher rating than all but one college football game last year, to give you an idea of how powerful it is. Now, the NFL is the beast. It's of the top 100 rated programs in television of any kind. It's got like 97 of the 100. It's ridiculous. But the draft also brings in a lot of college football fans, because unlike the NBA and MLB, you know these products. Almost all of them have played at least 3 years of college ball. So many of them have played for major schools. And so there's a connection between both the college football fanatic and the NFL fanatic. So just some numbers real quick. There's some interesting trends looming, and JC, this backs into what a lot of your background is, or was, but I know you still keep an eye on it, and that's recruiting. Of the 32 first round picks, 22 were a 4 or 5 star. You had 9 5 stars, 9 of them, and 13 4 stars. Only one first round pick was not a 4 or 5, and that was Michael Penix Jr., who I just learned is actually, I think he grew up in Tampa. I didn't know that. And then bounced around, of course, Indiana and Washington. The only non-ranked player was Jared Verse, who started off at Albany from the Midwest, completely under the radar. Everybody else was a 3-star above. And again, Penix was the only one who was not a 4 or 5, other than Verse, I should have said. So that was one interesting trend. 11 players from the SEC in the first round, 14 if you include Texas and Oklahoma. So here we go. The SEC run, it's not going anywhere. And in fact, to kind of further amplify that, the SEC had the most picks again, 59. The Pac-12 was second. This is the ultimate just kick in the crotch for the Pac-12. They enjoyed one of the best years they've had in decades. The quarterback play was unbelievable. Washington was in the national championship game. You know, Oregon was a great story. Colorado was kind of a circus, but it had a lot of attention in Boulder. And now it's, again, it's the Pac-2 with Oregon State and Washington State. But they were second. Big Ten was third with 42. ACC, 41. Big 12, 31. One other one that I think is interesting, JC. 14 of the top 64 picks were transfers. All but two of them arrived at their drafted school via another Power 5 program. You look at the top players, you look at the last 5 Heisman Trophy winners, transfers, transfers, transfers. If you had any doubt where we are in this new era of college football, it's free agency, it's transfers, and most teams that are winning stuff are doing it with some quality transfers.
Yeah, especially at the quarterback position. I think this being a quarterback-heavy draft, I'm not surprised. I think other spots have not caught up to quarterbacks, but even before the portal and the free-for-all, quarterbacks were transferring. I mean, you know, Joe Burrow, Lincoln Riley obviously made hay with a bunch of transfers. Do you realize this? Baker Mayfield started his career as a walk-on at Texas Tech.
Right.
And then went to Oklahoma and won the job immediately. What a pimp. But, Kyler Murray started off at A&M. Right. You know, Jalen Hurts obviously started off at Alabama. Caleb Williams starts at Oklahoma, goes to Southern Cal. Daniels was at Arizona State, then LSU. Bo Nix was at Auburn, then Oregon. Penix was at Indiana, and then Washington. Drake May, a North Carolina legacy, did not transfer. But, the rest of them, by and large, I think.
And he was offered a lot of money, Drake May was, to go to Ohio State.
There was speculation. Well, Alabama, too. Yeah. There was speculation there that Drake would have been well paid had he left North Carolina this past year. But, so you look at it, and it's like, yeah, well, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, a quarterback. And I think – as negative as sometimes I think the transfer portal is for the game at large and for so many guys that overestimate their value, that are chasing bags, and it just destroys any kind of career they could possibly have. It hurts their academics. It really can hurt their life, okay, in a lot of instances, because I think these are still kids, and like a lot of times they listen to the wrong people that have adults that have selfish motivations and all that. As negative as that is, I think the positive is for quarterbacks, because you don't have a situation where, you know, you have to go sit out and it's just a pain to go get your shot. And quite frankly, there for a while, a lot of schools were stockpiling these guys and kind of pulling a Bear Bryant. When I say that, Bear Bryant, back when there was 130 scholarships, he'd use all 130. And then he was the athletic director, so 20 other guys would get track scholarships and they keep him off of other teams, you know. And there were a lot of schools, I think, doing that. And, you know, guys would end up just going wherever for whatever situation when they're grad transfers or whatever. And I kind of like the fact that these guys are able to move around because, you know, they get sold. I think at that position, you get sold a bill of goods a lot of times in recruiting. And the reality is the best quarterback is going to play. That should be the recruiting pitch, period. The best one's going to play. I don't know if you're going to start. You may start. You may not. There's so much that goes into it. But it's not. Their heads are filled with nonsense. And oh, gosh, see, there's a path for you to start. A wink, wink. So I think that's a positive part. And the draft is playing that out. You know, it wasn't fair after Tom Allen and his OC, which was not Kalen DeBoer at the time. But his DC, and Tom Allen was on his way to getting fired. His staff leaves. You know, Penix led Indiana during the pandemic year to a banner season, you know. It wasn't fair to make him stay in Indiana in that situation with supporting cast. I mean, you know, Daniels, it wasn't fair to make him stay at Arizona State after all that crap happened with Herb and the violations. You know, it wasn't fair to make Joe Burrow sit at Ohio State. You know, I mean, that's one of the positive parts about it. And I think you're just going to see that more and more. And I think schools are going to start, you know, reevaluating their high school quarterback recruiting philosophy in some ways. I mean, look at Kentucky already. Third straight year. Fourth straight year, actually, because Levis was a two-year guy.
That's right.
With a transfer quarterback, upperclassman, you know. And so you may see that be part of the built-in strategy. In other words, you know, we may go for our guy. If we don't get our guy in this class, we'll just wait for the portal and see who we can get and go from there. And I also know about the money, the NIL stuff. You know, a lot of these guys, when you hear these outrageous sums, and I'm talking like the $8 million or whatever, that rarely is the case. But some of these guys do push seven figures when they're older and proven. And I think, Mike, they earned it. I think because a quarterback that's that good, that's proven they can come in and really change the trajectory of your team, it's worth that much money. And quite frankly, as the quarterback at a big school like that, you're going to be worth that much in name, image, and likeness, whether you're doing commercial endorsements or getting that from a collective or not. I mean, you're going to be the man. And so, you know, I think that's – if there's a positive – position that all this is impacted totally in a positive manner, 100%, I think it's quarterback position.
Well, we've talked about it. I mean, I think the average rate for most SEC schools there's some that might be a little steep, but it is seven figures. There are multiple starters in the SEC under center last year, this year, going to make seven figures. That's no longer a like sticker price shock. When you see that or you hear about that. And yeah, I mean, now look, if you're Georgia and you got Carson Beck, now you had a walk-on essentially lead you to two national titles and Stetson Bennett. That is beyond the exception to the rule. To get Carson Beck, and this is the one advantage of NIL that fans that are, you know, we get this a lot. I don't like where college football is going. It's too much like the pros. You're going to lose people like me. Come on, if we're being honest, you're not going anywhere. If you love a particular school, that loyalty is much deeper than that. You know, it just is. But think about this. There was a time where Carson Beck would have almost been short-sighted to not leave for the pros after last year, right? I mean, there's just too much money. And essentially, wink, wink, nod, nod, you would have been compensated nothing beyond the full price of the scholarship, which, as we've talked about many times, not a bad racket. When you have not a single bill to pay and everything is at your disposal from meals and lodging and this, that, and the other, like that's not a bad gig. But then you can add seven figures on top of that. Now, all of a sudden, I'm being projected as a second-round pick, maybe even third in a quarterback-stocked draft, or I can come back, get 1 point whatever, buy myself a Lamborghini, really enjoy the good life, stay one more year playing big-time ball, and guess what? Money's still going to be there on the other side. It's, you know, it's not like, oh, well, now he's 23. Now he's 22. Well, Michael Penix will be 24 before the season starts. That's a whole other disaster. The Falcons forgetting to put on their clown shoes and red rubber nose before they handled this year's draft. But the advantage, a lot of guys that would have felt it would have been stupid to not leave early, even though it wasn't necessarily the best move for them. They're now staying another year in college football. So that is one byproduct advantage. I'll just say this before we go to break. Congratulations to the Michigan Wolverines. Got a few Michigan fans that are diehard listeners of JC and Morgan. Justin, this is for you. And as if winning a national title wasn't enough, you did set the high for this year's draft. 13 Wolverines were drafted. The record, which a lot of people thought Michigan would break, was Georgia in 2022 with 15 guys. Texas had 11, Bama had 10, Florida State had 10, Washington had 10. This just in, they were all really good last season. We'll take a timeout. I'll tell you what else is really good, the JC5. You know it. You love it. As I like to say, the morale of an entire nation rests heavily on how this performance goes for JC. On the other side of this timeout, you're listening to JC and Morgan.
Down here in the South, we don't always see eye to eye. While our taste in college football teams, or what sauce, if any, goes best on a rack of ribs, or what to mix with our Dixie vodka might be up for debate, we can all agree there's nothing better than a Southern tailgate. And like our favorite college teams, our ingredients come from small towns and big cities. They're grown in Southern soil, are crafted by Southern hands, and proudly represent the South in our backyard and beyond. So raise a glass of Dixie Southern Vodka to celebrate being made in America and raised in the South.
Hey, folks, want to tell you about our friends at Titan Construction Group really quick. They're a Mid-Atlantic-based general contractor, specializes in retail, restaurant, and office construction. TCG strives to separate itself from other general contractors by adding value every step of the process. From project budgeting to estimation, value engineering to construction, they focus on those relationships and not the transaction. Titan builds partnerships one project at a time. Among their clients are Starbucks, Crumble Cookie, Blake Pizza, Home Goods, 15 plus years experience based in Midlothian, Virginia, and contracted in Virginia, West Virginia, North Carolina, and South Carolina. So get on their website, TitanCGInc.com. That's TitanCGInc.com. Get in touch with Brad if you're in need of a general contractor that focuses on going above and beyond for their clients. That's Titan Construction Group, a proud sponsor of the JC and Morgan podcast.
Mike.
Listen up. This is for construction professionals, contractors, facility managers, or do-it-yourself homeowners. Site Pro Rentals is ready to equip your upcoming project. We rent construction equipment for any size job. Boom and scissor lifts, telehandlers, skid steers, excavators, air compressors, generators, even small tools and equipment. Site Pro has you covered. If you are ready for better equipment rental, call Site Pro and rent from the local, friendly, easy to do business with equipment professionals. Call 972-RENT now. That's 972-736-8669 to rent the newest equipment in the Atlanta market. Call 972-RENT now or visit siteprorentals.com.
We're passionate about making sure that the Nest and Wild mattress is the best it can be. Made well and made right. Right here in Tupelo, Mississippi. So how can we do all that? Work. Hard work. And that means something. The Nest and Wild mattress is a movement. It's a pride in where you come from and where you're going. So get comfortable. Because this movement is just beginning. It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win!
we're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We are back. It is JC and Morgan. Thanks again for tuning in. And edition number 239, JC and Morgan with the JC5 about to get underway, brought to you in part by Nest and Wild, nestandwild.com, home of the most comfortable mattress on the planet, like you're sleeping on top of a cloud, five layers, all the right materials, and it's priced right. Locally owned and operated out of Tupelo, Mississippi, Brandon Jameson, the founder and CEO, had a vision to give you the most comfortable mattress you can purchase without an outrageous price. And here's the best thing. You don't need to go to a brick-and-mortar store to get it. You don't need to do anything. It's just shipped to your door and ready to go and ready to enjoy the best sleep you've ever had. Check them out, nestandwild.com. It will change the way you sleep, which in turn changes the way you live. JC, bring some heat, please.
It's time for the top topics in the sport. We bring the JC 5. Number one.
All right, Mike, give people some hope up here. Because as much as we've talked about the Falcons, I hadn't talked much about the Bears. You know, I think once they added Rome at receiver and you start really looking at the weapons, after signing DeAndre Swift and Keenan Allen in the offseason, you have more from last year that you got from the Panthers. Do you think Caleb Williams, which is, like you've always said, most important position on the field, you can have everybody else if you don't have the quarterback, you're not going to do. Do you think there is enough next year? Because I think by this point with this regime, this head coach and this GM, it's year three. The playoffs are expected. The playoffs aren't as hard as they used to be to make it. The division's favorable. Do you think Caleb Williams is good enough to lead the Bears to the playoffs in year one?
I do. 14 of the 32 teams, to your point, make the postseason now in the NFL. They expanded it a few years ago. So 14. Can you be one of the seven in the NFC? The courtesy of the Carolina Panthers and the way they run things, which is give away a lot of draft picks and get very little in return. The Bears, it's not just about Caleb. You mentioned Odunze. My lukewarm take is that Odunze will be the best wide receiver in this draft, not Marvin Harrison. I think Odunze is a more explosive player. And if he had the last name Harrison, maybe he'd be number one. I get it. Harrison's taller by a couple inches. That doesn't impress me. He's good. Don't get me wrong. But I just think Odunze is going to be freakishly good. Loved his game at Washington. By the way, all three Washington wide receivers got drafted. To give you an idea, it wasn't just Penix. Like I mentioned they had 10 guys drafted. They were doing some good things over there in Seattle. Kalen DeBoer was getting some talent. We don't talk about them in the same breath as the SEC teams or the Big Ten teams, even though they're now a Big Ten team. Washington had a really good thing going on there, but yeah, JC, I mean, they have been able to stockpile picks and pick up talent. And so Caleb is not walking into a situation like Drake May is in New England or like Jaden Daniels is in Washington. He's walking into the best situation of those three. The other two are train wrecks. New England is beyond a train wreck. They just are a shipwreck. Okay. And like it's bigger, much bigger than a train wreck. It's a shipwreck. Mm-hmm. Captain had a few too many bourbon and Cokes. like 2 a.m. He thinks that the thing just going to steer itself, and he just plows into something, and the ship is now nearly underwater, and it's a bad situation.
It's the Exxon. It's not the Titanic. It's Exxon Valdez. Yeah,
right. Oil is spilled all over the place. Birds are dying left and right. The EPA is online too, and they want compensation. So yeah, I think, and Caleb Williams is going to be a fascinating case study. I think all three of these top quarterbacks will be. The anti-Drake May sentiment, again, people know what they saw and heard in 2022. And quite honestly, you know, I'm familiar with some of these carnival barkers. They look at it through the lens they want to look at it. Some of them are going to be rooting against Drake May, and they're going to be rooting for Caleb Williams. You say, well, what's that all about? I'll let them tell you. Okay, but it's just so obvious. The coverage of Drake May was talking about like this guy was just garbage from a lot of people. Look at the tape in 2022 when he had an NFL wide receiver in Josh Downs and a decent offensive line. He's pretty damn good. Oh yeah, he's not a statue. He led the team in rushing. He's an athlete. I think there's a good chance all three of them turn out good. So Caleb Williams, there's no doubting his arm talent. He can throw off platform, which scouts love now. So he can do a lot of those tricky type of throws that Pat Mahomes does. Is he Pat Mahomes? No. Did he look awful against Notre Dame? Yes. Did he do some things that rub people the wrong way? Yes. But his talent, his arm talent was undeniable. And you and I talked on another show about how a Spencer Rattler can fall to the 5th round. And there was all these reports about, well, he did that reality show when he was 17. And that's why no, he's dropped to the 5th round because he's 6 feet tall, ran a 4.95, and did not have a terribly good year at South Carolina. So much of that was not his fault. Couldn't block a soul. Didn't have anybody other than Xavier Legette to throw the ball to. But people know what they know. If Spencer Rattler had Caleb Williams' arm talent and his size and a little more shifty, Spencer Rattler would have gone much higher in the draft. They overlooked the flaws with Caleb because they see elite arm talent. And I have to believe the scouts know what they're doing on that, and he's got a chance to be special. I saw Jaden Daniels a number of times. I know he's special, but he's not Lamar Jackson elusive, and he is frail at 6'4" and not real big. I have a little bit of doubt there. And yeah, of course I have a doubt on Drake May too. There are times he was just inconsistent. I'm a big accuracy guy, JC. You know this. I don't need flashiness from my QB. I need a guy that can make throws. If Lamar Jackson was a little better thrower, he might do something in the postseason. But instead, you have everybody saying he's a revolutionary quarterback and the next best thing, and then he continues to lose playoff games and turn it over in the postseason as a helicopter flies overhead. So I think all three are very, very intriguing. Bo Nix, I have no idea what that dude's going to do. If he was a complete bust, I wouldn't be surprised. If he turned out to be a solid starting quarterback, I wouldn't be surprised. He is athletic. He does have those things. But if you watched him at Auburn, you're like, how in the hell is this kid a first-round pick? And then the J.J. McCarthy one, it's just we don't know. You pointed this out several times on this show. To knock J.J. McCarthy because of that offense is not seeing the whole picture. J.J. McCarthy has all the tools. He has the arm. He is athletic. You just didn't see a lot of it because that was not their bread and butter. Jim Harbaugh ran a 1987 offense as opposed to a 2023 offense. But I can't sit here and tell you he can't play at the next level. I think there's a hole. So I think we're going to look back at these 6 first-round quarterbacks in 2-3 years, and it's going to be fascinating. Remember, I mentioned the class 3 years ago. And other than Trevor Lawrence, everybody else in that class, from Justin Fields to Mac Jones, I'm missing a couple other names, they all got traded and in some cases pretty much dumped. They're in the wasteland. Like the teams have already given up on those guys. Trevor Lawrence is the only one of those guys that the team that drafted him is really still high on him. So it'll be a fascinating case study.
Number 2.
All right. Our guy, Josh Pate, has taken a crusade we've been on for a little while here, Mike. to his level with the group of five playoff, and he's proceeded to get like slammed for it. Now he's got a little bit broader daily audience than ours, probably a little more group of five folks that chime in.
Yeah, yeah.
Apparently they think that's insulting to the group of five. I thought
over yourselves.
Yeah, so my question to you is, do you back Pate and say, no, it's not insulting, it's actually pro group of five?
I back Pate State, and not just because we like Josh and he's a friend of the program. By the way, I want to make sure I just put a period on the sentence. Zach Wilson, bust. Trey Lance, bust. Justin Fields, bust. Mac Jones, bust. Four of the five quarterbacks taken in the top 15 in 2021 have already been essentially labeled a bust, traded. Now, look, Fields still has ability, and maybe Zach Wilson finds something in a new location. But for the most part, as of right now, as of today, they are considered busts. Now, you and I have floated this for a while. I think it's a great idea, and I'd love to see it. I think, JC, where you and I might differ is, I mentioned the antitrust lawsuit going on, and I think the people that run college football, they're not magnanimous. The SEC and Big Ten are not magnanimous. They didn't say, let's make sure we include a group five team in the playoff every year out of the kindness of their heart. I think they were truly concerned about litigation if they were not more inclusive. And so I get it. And I have no problem with them taking up a slot, even though they're not going to be one of the top 14 or 12 by kind of the letter of the law, if you will. And that money comes in handy. But I also love the idea of a group five playoff. And I have no doubt, knowing TV the way I do, one of the major networks will pick that up. One of the major networks will pay good money for it. And it will, depending on where you put it on the calendar, you got to be a little creative with this. It will draw eyeballs more so than any UFL game will. Promise you that. Promise you that. So I love that idea. It's not a knock. I mean, get over yourselves. What, if you're a Tulane fan, you find this offensive? If you're a Memphis fan, you find this offensive? That's just silly. Just sometimes you got to deal with facts. Unless you're an SMU and you can completely buy your way out of your status in life in college football, unless you have that kind of oil money, you have to look at facts, and facts are you're not going to play with the big boys. And I'm a champion for the smaller schools. This is not an elitist point of view. It is looking out for your best interest. And I think that's what Josh Pate is doing. So I'm all for it.
I mean, you know, you think about the programs that have gone up, the App States, the Georgia Southerns of the world, you know, the UMass even, I think UMass won a national championship in football in the 90s. Villanova, James Madison. Villanova, of course, has not moved up to the in football. But, you know, and you look, I mean, like Statesboro, Georgia used to be a special, special place on Saturdays. I mean, it's down there, and it still is. But you know, gosh, guys, let's get to the Camellia Bowl. You know, gosh, guys, let's hope one of these big schools goes 5-7, so we can get to the Bahamas Bowl this year, which is a great bowl. There's nothing wrong with the Bahamas Bowl. I've liked it myself, but you kind of take the tradition away a little bit, because look, these teams and look, there may be an upset. Everybody points. Somebody points at like, oh well, Boise State beat Oklahoma that year, and don't forget UCF beat Auburn that year. And Tulane beat Southern Cal, and so those teams have competed. Cincinnati made it to the semis. Well, that's all well and good. But bowl games, I think we all know, the hardest thing for some teams that are playing littler teams in bowl games is to get up for those folks that are sky high to beat you, because that's their Super Bowl. You know, that's Tulane's Super Bowl. Southern Cal's the Cotton Bowl was just kind of an afterthought, and people, you have opt-outs and everything else. So, you know, I think it's just going to be very hard. I mean, it's going to be like the 16 seed in basketball. Will it happen one day? Yes, but it may not even happen in our lifetime. And so why not try to work something out to where you get both? You can have your one sacrificial lamb go, and then everybody else plays it off. Maybe the lamb comes back and gets a bye or something. And if for some reason they pull an upset, then you just kind of have a backup plan. College sports isn't very good with backup plans, but you could be creative with it and really get something going. I group of five playoff like last year, who would that have been? Like Liberty and Tulane or SMU and, you know, and then Boise State kind of had a resurgent season. UNLV would have been in the playoff last year. My Running Rebels. I mean, I would have watched every second of that. I would much rather watch that than a MAC team that's fourth in the league against a fifth place team from Conference USA, which I do watch during bowl season. And you can incorporate the bowls and do it that way too. I mean, it makes too much sense.
I'm with you. By the way, since you mentioned Georgia Southern, whenever you mention Georgia Southern, you have to give shout out to Irk Russell.
Irk Russell's the man.
Irk Russell, legend. I spent a week there for a baseball regional, and like, Irk Russell is God. Good friend of mine's an alum of Georgia Southern. He waxes poetic about the days of Irk Russell. So I just thought we'd throw in a shout out to Irk Russell. Since you mentioned Villanova, when you mentioned Villanova football, I think Howie Long. That's it.
Howie Long.
I got nothing else.
His kids ended up being really good players. Howie Long.
Yeah. So
my dad actually told me when I played football in sixth grade, he reminded him of Howie Long.
Really?
It was a big, tall defensive end, you know.
It's a hell of a compliment.
I love how, once I figured out who Howie Long was later in life, I was like, it's a great compliment, Dad.
75 in the silver and black Hall of Famer.
A lot better than telling me when I was 5'11 and a half, 158 pounds, that I had fat tendencies and to stop eating. He was right. Don't get me wrong. He was right. He was right to tell me to do that then, because I developed some bad habits. But, anyway.
How many steroid needles was he surrounded by in the Raiders locker rooms back in the early 80s with Alzado and some of those boys? Oh, my goodness. Different time frame, folks. Different time frame.
No doubt.
All right.
Number three.
Okay, so Brad Carver has a tweet today. Sticking with 24/7 sports personnel.
We love Brad.
We love Brad. He's been a member of the show, or a guest on our show, and a really good guy. Ole Miss, this is the tweet. Ole Miss, it's never been a better time to buy stock in Ole Miss, but in the future, it's just going to skyrocket. Okay. Are you buying this? Let's look at the history of Mississippi football. They've had some good moments. I think this kind of, you know, you had Matt Luke there for 3 years, and he did a good job recruiting and kind of holding it all together. But I think it's back-to-back Hugh Freeze and Lane Kiffin has been good for this. It's been a really good stretch for the Rebs. Is it sustainable?
Oh, two different questions. Look, if their formula is we are going to dominate the portal, and that formula has been good to Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss, right? So it's a different way, it's a different avenue to success. You know, Hugh had those couple of years where they were landing five stars, and of course that got them on probation and blah 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 blah. So I don't think Ole Miss is ever going to be like, they're not going to out recruit Georgia and Bama and LSU on a regular basis. But what they're saying is, yeah, okay, that's fine. But we're gonna take your girlfriend. We're not gonna take the homecoming queen. We're gonna wait till you fall in love with this particular girl and invest in her. Then we're gonna steal her. Then we're gonna take her away. And that's what he's doing. Now, he lost a couple too, including Junkins to Ohio State. It was good for the Goose, right? But yeah, I think it's just, as long as Lane stays and he has had a dozen offers, and again, just my lay of the land, I didn't think he was leaving for any of them. The Lane used to be a little more fickle and unpredictable. I think Lane has settled into his lane, and that was not meant to be a pun. He understands that Ole Miss has limitations. He'll call the fan base out. You know, it's great that you all are in the Grove and enjoying life out there. Why don't you pack the stadium and give us home field advantage like they have at other SEC schools? He'll do it. He doesn't care. Light doesn't give two you-know-whats about being critical where he believes it's justified with Ole Miss. But he also knows he's got confidence in his ability as a coach. He knows that Ole Miss has a lot of money they're willing to spend on the portal, and they're going to be competitive in an expanded playoff. See, this is the dichotomy of this era. I always like to say timing is so important in anything, including in sports. The timing, the best timing for Lane would have been when the West was down in like the 90s, and people like Mike Shula and Curly Hallman and the end of the Terry Bowden era and Danny Ford and Houston Nutt were running the league. Like, it, you could have dominated the West back then with what you're doing. But now, no divisions, and there's just programs that are, their DNA is to be more successful than Ole Miss. But with the expanded playoffs, I think they're going to get in some playoffs. So as long as you're good with just getting into the playoff, and that's how we're going to judge a lot of teams. Did you make it to the next level? Are you a playoff caliber program or are you not? I think he's turned it into, with this new system, a playoff caliber program. And yes, I do think it's sustainable. I'm bullish on Ole Miss football.
Number four. Announcer.
All right. It's kind of funny. Darius in the chat box points out, I remember a couple of years ago, the analysts were saying Josh Rosen was a generational quarterback.
Yeah. We had a Josh Rosen callback. We had another, listener mention a different name and that, and I just forgot what it was, but at any rate, yeah, there's been quite a few that have fit that bill, and Rosen was a phenomenal bust.
A phenomenal high school player. And I'll say this, the time I met Snoop Dogg, you can see this picture in my background.
You and Snoop going coached, way back. Yeah, streets of Compton.
7-on-7 out in Las Vegas. In a Vegas, come out in Las Vegas. And the first thing he said to me, was like, "What's up, man?" It's like, what you thinking about my quarterback? The quarterback was Josh Rosen. And he's damn good. I mean, Josh Rosen looked like John Elway as a prospect. 6'4", beautiful delivery, rocket arm. I'll never forget, man, like when he was at UCLA, A&M, the Kevin Sumlin A&M, they get up like 41-10 first half. They're cruising and everybody's out at the Rose Bowl going, "Yeehaw, A&M." And Rosen led them all the way back. And they won 42-41. That's one of those.
His stock was hot, man.
SEC teams don't need to go to UCLA early because they tend to lose. Anyway, and I thought he's on. And then he got drafted high by the Cardinals. And I don't know, man. It's just something happened with him. But I thought that was a good story. Is like, I always tell that story that, Snoop was like, I went straight to like work mode. I was like, well, he's very 6'4". He's got a good arm. He's really. I was totally unsmooth with my response. It was like I was on a radio show or something. Yes, Mr. Snoop. He's very good. But
the conversation kind of hit a snag right there.
I ended up, we talked for like at least a minute and a half. I mean, that's a celebrity.
I met Snoop and he did a documentary about his son. Remember his son played at Southern Cal. They hate to be called Southern Cal, by the way. I don't care. And ESPN had a deal, like a premiere, and there was Snoop outside. I got my picture with him, chatted a little bit.
I remember.
I didn't have a quarterback.
I can't believe Morgan got the Snoop picture.
I got the Snoop picture, yeah.
It was a couple of years after mine, and I won my high school completely. I mean, I grew up in a high school in the 90s, and everybody's on Facebook snooping, and they're all nosy as hell, wanting to know what you're doing with your life, and hoping that your life's worse than theirs. And I don't feel that way, but I know everybody else does. They sit there all of a sudden just like, "Oh my God, he's got a picture of Snoop Dogg on. Oh my God, he's God. He's won. He's the king."
I was on a heater because a couple of months after I met Snoop, in Atlanta, they're filming Anchorman 2. And I get a phone call that says, "Hey, the cast of Anchorman 2 is at a place called Gio's Chicken, which is owned by a guy that owns Antico Pizza." which is very popular in Atlanta, and they have one at, if you go to a Braves game, you can try Antico Pizza, free plug for Gino and the gang. And I'm like, well, I got to check this out. So I go over there and I meet Will Ferrell, Steve Carell, Paul Rudd, Judd Apatow, and got pictures with all of them. So I was on a heater. I was on a celebrity heater at that point. And, you know, now I'm just happy if I bump into Carrot Top. There's a callback. Yeah. Third Carrot Top reference of 2024.
Yeah, it comes in waves. All right, so number four. I think we
number five.
We didn't get to number four.
We didn't finish four. We got sidetracked by Snoop Dogg.
Speaking of Atlanta, okay, this Falcons thing. Mike, you know, look, and I before I adopted the Bears, and I've told the story, it was 2 years ago, the Falcons played the Bears in Atlanta, and I'm at our establishment on the Sunday watch party. Free food, by the way. It's awesome. And the Bears completed a pass, and I went, yeah, just out of nowhere. And that's when I realized, hey, I'm not really a Falcons fan anymore. I'm more of a Bears fan at the end of the day. But it is a team of my childhood, and I do hope they do well. I was as stunned as anybody the other night. I still think it was a terrible move. I think there was a lot of different weird motivations about it that I don't really like. None of them had to do with winning. And they keep claiming they have this loaded roster. They're just a quarterback away, but really they had some other pieces, blah, 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 blah. You know, Dallas Turner was the pick too. I mean, it was a no-brainer pick. So anyway, can the Falcons though be like the Packers or like the Chiefs? And will this end up working out? I don't know, because I don't think Kirk Cousins is Brett Favre, and I don't think Kirk Cousins is Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
And I don't think that as mixed as his results were, I don't think he got an Alex Smith there either. I thought Kirk Cousins was a reach to begin with. But so what's your take on this?
Yeah, there's so many differences between the Packers, like getting Jordan Love. I've heard that comp a lot. The Packers were 13-3 when they drafted Jordan Love. They already had a Super Bowl caliber team. And I thought it was pretty dumb to take Jordan Love at that point, because when you're a player away, you don't draft another quarterback. You draft the player that helps you get over the hump. They didn't do that. So it's great that Jordan Love had a good year last year. That's still, I don't think it was a good pick. But there's so many differences there. They were 13-3. They had a complete roster. They were coming off an NFC championship game. Atlanta hasn't made the Super Bowl since they squandered a 28-3 lead. They haven't made the playoffs, I beg your pardon, since they squandered a 28-3 lead. So that's 6-7 years ago. Atlanta has been persona non grata in the postseason. And they give $100 million guaranteed to Kirk Cousins. So this has never been about Michael. I told you all along, Michael Penix, for me, and I'm not breaking down 100 hours of tape every week because it's not my job, but I watch enough college football to know, and I look at enough data to know, there was not a better, again, I like accuracy, there was not a better, more accurate passer in college football than Michael Penix last year. So this is not a slight to Michael Penix. I would gladly take Michael Penix in a situation where I don't have a quarterback. But when you just spent $100 million and you convinced your fan base that he was the missing piece, it makes no sense. There's rumors that they panicked. They wanted another guy. You could have traded down 3-4 spots and still got Penix and get more draft capital. You screwed this up in every way imaginable. You can spin it however you want. And then you get Laurel and Hardy at the podium and Fontenot and Raheem Morris trying to justify the pick and explain it. The more they spoke, the more they just dug a bigger and bigger hole. Like if I was the press secretary, I would be like, okay, guys, we're out of time. Thank you. That's enough. No, it's bad. They have the worst rush pass defense in the NFL. Okay. The worst. They don't pressure the quarterback. They don't sack the quarterback. And you could have had Dallas Turner, who I think was one of the easiest guys that, like, you plug and play and he'll be a stud right away. You decided to pass that up to take another quarterback and convince everybody that you're already a Super Bowl roster. Like, you're not. You're not even. No, 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 no. Bad all around. Don't know how else I can say it. Number five.
Number five.
Microphone, please.
Sorry about that.
There we go.
I try to mute it because there's sometimes a wiggle and it makes noise, but my bad.
All good.
All right, the difference between the SEC and the Big Ten. Everybody will sit there and go, what about Vanderbilt when I say this? Well, what about Vanderbilt? They haven't won in how long? They had no draft picks or one. Did they have one, Mike, or zero?
Anyway, they haven't had a player drafted in 3 years.
All right, so
Florida had just one for the first time since 1980. They were second last. Vandy hasn't had a player drafted in 3 years.
All right, so, yeah. So I'm going to talk about places that care about football, right, and kind of the mindset of these schools. And here's the difference, all you Big Teners. I don't care how much cashing of the checks you're doing. Northwestern University, which, by the way, has been to 3 bowl games in 4 years and won 2 divisions in 4 years and almost won it again this year, even though they wrongfully terminated Pat Fitzgerald over some BS. All right, so they're building a new stadium. It's an immaculate new stadium. It looks really, really looks like a miniature version of like a Mercedes-Benz without the dome, you know, right there where Ryan Field, historic Ryan Field, used to be. It's a 30,000-seat stadium, so, you know, that's more their speed. But guess what? It's going to take – the Chicago way is it's going to take a lot of years to build it, you know, because it takes a lot of time to get something done around here. In the meantime – they didn't start working on where they were going to play their home games until like last month. And so they got a game at Wrigley. They got a game at SeatGeek Stadium, which is a major league soccer facility down near where the wife and her family go to the Buddhist temple right there, kind of in a play in a Breckenridge or something. Some kind
shout out to Buddha.
Yeah, shout out to Buddha. Here we go. But it's right next to kind of a mini amusement park. It's kind of weird. So I got a game there. But then the rest of them, Mike, they're going to play on their practice field, which is just a field about 20 yards from the shores of Lake Michigan. Like right there is the lake. And then they're going to play on that field. They're going to bring in, I guess they claim, temporary bleachers. And could you imagine, this is my question, could you imagine this happening, you know, maybe at Vanderbilt, but any other SEC school, especially one that's been successful, could you imagine this happening? Well, you mean we don't know where we're going to play? Well, you mean we're going to bring in temporary? What? What about my parking space? Could you imagine that happening?
You know, this is, I'm going to defend Vandy a little bit here. The great thing about playing in a beautiful metropolitan city like Nashville speaks for itself. People love going to Nashville for a number of reasons, and they love going, opposing fans love going to Vanderbilt because they make a road trip out of it. They turn it into a mini vacation, right? And they usually see their team win, for being honest. The bad news is Vandy has a land issue. Everything is just kind of, if you've been to their football stadium, it's crammed in with their baseball stadium, crammed in with Memorial Gym, and it's, you don't have room to expand. If you're a land grant institution, yeah, you know, high dining might be Chick-fil-A and, you know, the local Bubba's barbecue. So you don't have some of the luxuries of a Nashville, but you also have a ton of land that you can build a ton of athletic facilities on. That's the advantage of being in a smaller town without those limitations. But Vanderbilt, look, I'm going to give Vanderbilt credit. They have finally stepped up to the plate. I don't know the exact number off the top of my head, but it is over $100 million, $200 million, $250 that they're putting into facilities. Long overdue. Long overdue. If you want to make a statement and you want to stop getting ribbed about how serious you are, you got to at least have the facilities. If Northwestern can do it and if Duke can do it, Vanderbilt can certainly do it. Does that mean all of a sudden Vanderbilt's going to be a power in the SEC? No. But at least it gives everybody the message that you're in it to win it. You know, you're going to compete. You're going to ante up. Big time conference requires big time dedication and contribution. And that's at least a good start to all that.
Absolutely. That concludes the JC final. Exo says this, what will become of Joe Milton? Mind-boggling. He got taken over other quarterbacks. I will say just quickly, Joe Milton over a guy like Sam Hartman, to me, Hartman, that shows you the arrogance of the quarterback evaluators. They're like that girl. I can save him. I can save him. I can save him. Never mind. You know, there's a litany of proof you can't.
I'm trying to think of a comp for Joe Milton, a guy that for years now has been known for one thing, the strongest arm in college football. He might even show to have the strongest arm of any NFL quarterback. He can literally throw, I don't know how this got started, like, hey, man, can you throw that orange 100 yards? But I can throw a football over that mountain. It's like a Napoleon Dynamite scene, but he can throw an orange 100 yards. He can throw a football 80-plus. He flashed a couple of times. Everybody remembers the bowl game a couple of years ago, and that led Tennessee fans some to believe he could really be something special. Well, he was anything but last year. It really made you appreciate Hendon Hooker and showed you that not just anybody can go into Josh Heupel's offense and light the world on fire, because Joe Milton could not. He would hit the bowl more than he would hit the plate, to use a Bull Durham reference. Five and Dime coming up after this break. I'm trying to think of another guy that everybody said, oh, he's got the strongest arm. He's got the strongest arm. And then, but could never see the field like in the NFL. Like Jeff George for years, to me, threw the prettiest ball. It was him and Warren Moon when I was growing up. Threw the prettiest ball of anybody I've ever seen. But Jeff George was a problem. He was a coach's nightmare. He was, pardon my French, a royal pain in the ass. And it really stopped him from being great. He was good. He was never great. But he at least was a starter for I don't know how many years in the league.
Yeah.
We're talking about a guy in Joe Milton I don't think will ever be a starter in the NFL. And people always say, see that guy? He can throw the ball farther and harder than anybody else in pro football, but you won't see him play.
That's a punt, pass, and kick champion, not a football player. And
right. It's a long
guys
drive.
Guys are similar. Okay, so even guys like Jamarcus Russell, one of the best, the biggest busts of all time. Jamarcus Russell had a howitzer. But Jamarcus Russell was an accomplished quarterback at LSU.
Right. His
stats were good. He won games.
Yeah.
The late Ryan Mallett had a howitzer for an arm. One of the strongest arms I've ever seen in recruiting. Was not much of a pro, but man, look at what he did at Arkansas. And kind of like Milton, he was a Michigan transfer. Milton could have get it done at Michigan, then he got beat out again at Tennessee, and then he really couldn't get it done last year. Best thing he did was maybe run. Like Tom Lugable said, wouldn't. So I don't know. I think that's a special type of arrogance with him than maybe some of those other guys. But that's what happens. They'll draft guys like that. Because they think they know better.
And it's the equivalent. Right. Yeah, it's the equivalent, JC, of a guy that can bring it in baseball 99 miles an hour in college, but can't find the plate and has an ERA over 6. Somebody will still draft him and say, we can fix him, right? Just to use your analogy, we can fix him. And that's – so I'm not surprised. I don't even have a problem. Like, 6-round draft pick. Those are typically made for reaches anyway. I don't have a problem with it. I might have been tempted to do that too if I already had a quarterback in place – and my team's pretty solid. And I got a 6-round pick, and it's like we can draft a guy that's probably not going to get past the practice squad, or take this really rare prospect that if somehow he figures it out, we just got one of the steals of the draft. Like I get it, but I don't think it's going to happen. It's not just throwing hard. And again, so rarely do you forget about 80 yards. Rarely, if you watch a football game, I've done this. If you watch a football game and count how many times a quarterback throws the ball in the air past 20 yards, you'd be shocked at how few that is. Shocked. So much of today's game is quick hit, bubble screens, quick slants, quick out, dig route, go to the marker, stop, I'll hit you. That's it. Plays designed for receivers to catch and get the yak, the yard after catch. It's not, hey, let's go 40 yards downfield, even on a deep ball. Rarely do you see a deep ball go 50 yards in the air. You can count that on one finger very often. So throwing it 80 doesn't impress me at all. What impresses me is a guy like, I mean, it's still the best pure arm I ever saw was Dan Marino. And Dan Marino could do it all. I mean, he could throw it 50 when you wanted. But holy crap, if you needed to throw that 25-yard out, frozen rope. If you needed to split the corner and the safety, frozen rope. And it was a thing of beauty. Masterful. Could he throw it as far as Joe Milton? No. But he could throw pretty damn far, and good Lord, was he insanely accurate. All right, since you went squirrel mode on me, let's knock a couple more of these out real quick before we break. Seems like from BRC, seems like there's a generational quarterback every year, quote-unquote. Not sure they know what generational means. Yeah, I mean, everybody wants the next Pat Mahomes or Josh Allen. Those are generational guys, generational talent. They're freaks. They're literal freaks. I didn't see that out of Caleb Williams. Like, even Caleb Williams turns into a fine, good NFL quarterback, not a freak. Jayden Daniels, really good. He's not a freak. Drake May, I think, will be really good. He's not a freak. I don't think there was a true freak generational guy in this draft. That doesn't mean you couldn't have a 10-year starter. And those teams that picked that highly, they think they got 10-year starters. And if you did get that, then you more than justified the value of the pick. From Exo Make Me Harolo. That's a unique handle. Wonder what will become of Joe Milton. Mind-boggling he got taken over other quarterbacks available. You mentioned Sam Hartman. Was there anybody else, JC, that you were surprised didn't get drafted?
Sam Hartman was kind of the main one. Yeah. I thought he was good enough. I don't know what the breakdown was with him, but there are a lot of good quarterbacks that do not get drafted, but that was kind of the main one.
He'll get a free agent deal somewhere. Mm-hmm. I just don't know where. Maybe he already has. I don't know. Look, it's this draft is going to be so interesting. I can't wait till we're talking about this in 2027, in which one of these guys actually turns out, and they're going to be, probably the math says half of them will be complete busts. If not,
they've all got a Bill Belichick, so they all have a ways to go. I mean, we talk about Drake May. All he does is dial up the telestrator, circle Drake's feet, and he's like, ah, his feet are a mess. Look at that.
Now, in fairness, Bill was critical of almost everybody.
No, he didn't have a favorite. They asked him what his favorite one was. He's like,
Bill was the get off my line, off my lawn analyst.
I thought it was so refreshing, though. I was like, and now Saban was great, too. But
Saban
was
awesome.
Because they stuck
terrific.
They stuck Bill on the McAfee set, like the biggest hype set there was. McAfee was even like, but don't you think, Coach, there may be one that, you know, really stands out? And he's like, he went like, they got a long way to go. Here, look at this. His feet are a mess.
I don't like his footwork.
He's got to clean that up. Delivery. I loved it so much.
Two-side arm. There's a little less three-quarter on that, please.
Please.
Not a tight enough spiral. Doesn't have the pocket mobility. Gets out of the pocket too quickly. Gave up on the play. Got to let it develop. He's only a first-read guy. Got to do your progressions.
He tries to extend the play. Just throw the ball here.
Doesn't feel the pressure from the backside. Nope. No pocket awareness. Doesn't work for me. Brady had it. Me and Brady was flawed. There were times I didn't like him. Anyway. All right. Bill Belichick, he's a laugh a minute, that guy. All right, we'll close up shop with the segment you've been waiting to come back. It is another Fiver Dimer, the remote dropping rewatchable movies, or movies you just said, no, they're really not. I'll throw three out there. We'll get some opinions from the gallery when we come back. More JC and Morgan on the other side.
Listen up. This is for construction professionals, contractors, facility managers, or do-it-yourself homeowners. SitePro Rentals is ready to equip your upcoming project. We rent construction equipment for any size job. Boom and scissor lifts, telehandlers, skid steers, excavators, air compressors, generators, even small tools and equipment. SitePro has you covered. If you are ready for better equipment rental, call SitePro and rent from the local, friendly,
easy-to-do business with equipment professionals. Call 972-RENT-NOW. That's 972-736-8669 to rent the newest equipment in the Atlanta market. Call 972-RENT-NOW or visit siteprorentals.com.
Chicken cock originated in Kentucky, like so many other bourbons. And so the resurrection of it, you know, Paris, Kentucky, that's the county seat of Bourbon County. So much of this whiskey was being made in that Bourbon County, put on ships and barges and shipped down Ohio, down the Mississippi, and got to New Orleans where it got distributed all over the world. And people kept saying, well, hey, I want some more of that whiskey from Bourbon County. And so that's how bourbon whiskey got its name. And chicken cock originated actually in Paris, Kentucky, which is today Bourbon County.
We're passionate about making sure that the Nest and Wild mattress is the best it can be. Made well and made right. Right here in Tupelo, Mississippi. So how can we do all that? Work. Hard work. And that means something. The Nest and Wild mattress is a movement. It's a pride in where you come from and where you're going. So get comfortable. Because this movement is just beginning.
Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Wrapping up another installment of JC and Morgan. Mike Morgan, JC Sherbert. Our producer is Mad Dog Phil Mullinex. Mad Dog got some airtime last week, JC. We had Jeff Dancer filling in, and we had the JD5. We make our guest hosts contribute here. You got to go to work. You don't just show up and you know, half-ass it for 90 minutes. No, we put you to work when you're on this show. And we had the Phil 5. We had both fives, two for the price of one. But producer Mad Mullinex, who you saw him for the first time, many of you saw him for the first time. He is every bit as mysterious as you thought he might be. And maybe we'll go ahead and get him back on at some point. All right, time for the five or dime. Three movies. If it's a fiver, you've seen it at least five times. If it's a dimer, 10 plus. If it's neither, you know, maybe you hit it and quit it. Maybe you didn't even see it at all. We do not go over these beforehand, JC, so I don't know what you're going to say. You don't know what I'm going to say. But here we go. This came up the other day with a good friend of mine who reminded me when we were in Columbus, Georgia, first job out of college, okay? Not a whole lot to do in Columbus. Fine city. What I loved about hosting a talk show there, any given day, I knew I was going to have Georgia fans, Auburn fans, Alabama fans, not to mention Florida State, Florida, Tennessee. But those three fan bases are all almost divided equally in Columbus, which is on the state line of Georgia and Alabama. So there wasn't a whole lot to do there. But my buddy reminded me, him and his roommate, before there was picture in picture, they had picture on picture. They had two TVs stacked up on top of one another. And when they had house parties, one of the roommates, this is when Jerry Springer was in the it was the high time for Jerry Springer. Remember when that was like a thing? That was a phenomenon.
It was huge, yeah.
Huge, right? So he bought the best of Jerry Springer VHS cassette. my buddy who was roommates with him, his favorite movie or one of them was Apocalypse Now. So when they hosted a party, they had two TVs stacked on top of one another, and one was playing The Best of Jerry Springer, and one was playing Apocalypse Now. Is that not a party? I mean, come on.
I think it's a right now. If I were throwing a party out, and you asked me if I would like a setup like that,
yeah,
Best of Jerry on one and Apocalypse Now on another, absolutely.
I mean,
I'd put it on loop. That'd be awesome.
Pete, you were ahead of your time, my man. So that got me thinking for the first movie of the three today, Apocalypse Now. And I was late to the party on this. I think my first Vietnam movie was Platoon, and I was too young to really even grasp. I'm watching these movies, and I really know nothing about Vietnam. It was before our time. But then I became obsessed with 1960s culture and watched a million documentaries and read books. And so now I understand the brilliance of some of these movies. Born on the 4th of July, Full Metal Jacket, to me, is a dimer. So I will go to you first here. Apocalypse Now.
It's a Ben Franklin. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. It's quotable. It's got the GOAT Marlon Brando in it at the end. I've watched the movie about how they filmed it, and Francis Ford Coppola. It was his first. If you ever read about Ford Coppola, he's got another boondoggle now called Megalopolis he's trying to sell. They almost pulled the plug three, just like The Godfather. They always pulled the plug three different times. The whole cast got sick. They filmed at this remote spot in the Philippines. The whole cast got sick. Brando shows up like 60 pounds overweight.
Right.
And they shaved his head and put him in like this dress looking thing and would only shoot his face. Right. And tried to not shoot any body shots. He refused to learn his lines. None of the dialogue is anything that was in the original script. None. He just sat there and recorded. And they actually used some of this in the movie. If you watch the movie, there's a young Harrison Ford.
Yes.
Plays a bit part at the beginning of it. And they're listening to this crazy tape of this guy babbling on, "Hey, see the monsters and the snails and the little flowers down there. And I don't know, you know," and so they used part of it. So he trusted Francis Ford Coppola. He's like, "Francis, you know, let's just do this with me. You know, we could just do the dialogue and you can just record it and, you know, take what
I didn't
you
know
need.
You do Brando. Okay.
And
take what you need today."
And he was like, "Okay." So he and Brando just sat there and they're just like, "Roll." "I see horrors. I see horrors. I see that," you know, and it's like, you have to understand. And then Brando is such a great actor, dude, because he was a master at props. And the cat in Godfather was not supposed to be in there. There's a cat on set. And he just picked up the cat and he started petting it. And he used these nuts. And he's like, "You have to learn how to appreciate horror and pure terror." And it went on and on and on. So needless to say, there was a lot of cutting to do. Dennis Hopper went nuts for real in real life during the whole thing. I think somebody
he was high as a kite during the whole filming.
Just somebody died. I think, well, at least one or two cast members died. It was just this freaky thing. Robert Duvall scene obviously was class. I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
In, he's throwing 99. He's only got like one scene. He's throwing 99 miles an hour from the moment he enters the game and stays hot throughout. Love Duvall in that movie. Love him. You got muted.
Yeah. I know. It's and then the whole thing, you know, you have a young Martin Sheen, which is crazy because, you know, Charlie Sheen was in Platoon, and that's kind of weird.
Right.
And he was outstanding. I mean, just a great flick, and just really captured the essence of Vietnam. And it's based on a Joseph Conrad novel called Heart of Darkness, which is, mm-hmm. you know, required reading in high schools. It's I think they either go down the Amazon or the Nile, one of them. And Kurtz is kind of, it's not Vietnam, but
Yeah, so this is Ben Franklin for me. I'm glad you brought that one up because we could do a whole podcast on apocalypse now if you wanted to.
That might be a show for another day. I did not know this was in your sweet spot. By the way, made $105 million. Did very well at the box office. Again, when I first saw it, I really didn't know what I was watching. I was just naive. I just didn't have a grasp of that time in history. And then as I got older, I became obsessed with it, and I couldn't get enough of these type of movies. It's a fiver for me only because it's so heavy. And like, there's some movies you can just turn on and it's like, okay, I can take it from this point on. I'm in. I feel like Apocalypse Now, you got to sit down. You got to be ready to be immersed and engaged. You don't just like half-ass viewing this movie. It's a commitment. It's a commitment. So it's a fiver, not based on, it's not good enough to be a dimer. I've just only seen it around a handful of times. It's not on as much as like Full Metal Jacket is on every week on some channel, right? Born on the 4th of July is always on some streaming service. Apocalypse Now, you got to really search for it very often. And when you find it, again, you got to be all in. So Ben Franklin for you, and it sounds to me like one of your – I haven't heard you this excited about a movie in a while. And I will go fiver on Apocalypse Now. Okay, transitioning from a classic to not so – these are just movies I stumble upon. I'm like, okay. Fear with Mark Wahlberg and Reese Witherspoon. Fear. What you got?
Almost a fiver, maybe I think three times maybe. And
yep.
Not all the way through, but the first time I thought it was a good movie though.
Yeah.
But Mark Wahlberg to me is, he's sort of like back then, I still kind of considered him like Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So to play that kind of character, I was like, yeah, you're a jerk. And man, I hate the New Kids on the Block. You know,
right. He was kind of like a meathead. He was the kid in high school who was like, oh, geez, why are you putting another kid in the locker? But he's evolved. He's like a really likable guy now.
I know.
Who does a lot of charity work for veterans. Like he's evolved.
Moved his family out of L.A. to Las Vegas because he wasn't going to pay the high taxes and thought the quality of life was better.
Yep.
His daughter goes to Clemson. So, I mean.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Those that know me know I'm not a huge Clemson fan, but that is the part of South Carolina I am from. So I'm happy that Mark Wahlberg thinks enough of my home area to send his kid to school there. Yeah, he says lots of good things about Greensboro. Like, boy, Greenville's just beautiful, like everybody else. So yeah, I mean, and so now I look back on it, I'm like, yeah, you know, I don't really. It's like when Vince Vaughn was Psycho. Remember when Vince Vaughn played Norman Bates in terrible. Psycho? It was terrible, but at the time it's like, oh, Vince Vaughn, whatever he's brought in. But you now Vince Vaughn's done all these other he's a beloved character in all these movies. You don't want to go back and watch Vince. You don't even want to watch Vince Vaughn and Rudy anymore.
Right.
Like you put it out of your mind that that's Vince Vaughn.
Yeah. Vince was so determined to prove he had range. So he would like sign up for a number of these serious movies. There's another one with John Travolta where he's basically a murderer. And the stepson knows it and is trying to convince the mom, who happens to be the same woman who dated Ben Stiller and Meet the Parents, which is Ben Franklin.
Yes.
It's an awful, awful movie. I can't remember the name of it.
It is terrible.
It's just terrible. And Vaughn is terrible in it. Again, stay in your lane, bro. For me, Fear, I'm right with you. It's a fiver. Like when this movie first came, I didn't see it in the theater. It came out in 96. And I was like, what is this? And it started coming. It was on cable like every week. And I was like, all right, I'll give it a shot. And it's got Mark Wahlberg, Reese Witherspoon. Like this and Cruel Intentions was her coming out party. And you could not look away from Reese Witherspoon. And Alyssa Milano. She might be a complete and utter whack job. But if you grew up on Who's the Boss, like you had a thing for Alyssa Milano. Like you just did. Amy Brenneman is in this movie. I forgot that. It only made like $21 million at the box office, but it's one of those where nobody went to see it in the theater. But man, when it was on cable, you're like, yeah, I'll give this 20 minutes. right? And it's got a 90s grunge soundtrack. I think it takes place in the Seattle area. The dad, whoever played the dad, that is so typical of the dad of a daughter who is being basically pursued by the ultimate D-bag, and you need a dad like that. So I liked the dad. Whoever played that guy, William Peterson is his name. He's been in a few other movies. I thought he almost makes the movie, because anybody who's the father of a daughter can relate to that. Like, who the hell is this a-hole trying to date my daughter? Not on my watch, pal. And then there's Wahlberg like, oh, yeah, I am, pal. And then I'm going to take your little girlfriend with me, too, because that's the way I roll. I'm Marky Mark. I don't discriminate based on age. I'll go cougar. I'll go young. I don't care. There's a lot of things going on. And then you have like a lot of just incredible violence in the movie, which was a little unexpected and somewhat gory. But I'll give it a fiver. It's a classic case of a two-star movie. Again, this is not a great. This is nothing. This is not Apocalypse Now. Okay, you probably could have written this plot on a napkin during lunch at Chili's one day, and then pitch it to a. Back then, movies like this would be made. Now this would never be made. Movies like this do not get made. They might go to Netflix, straight to Netflix or something. But I'll go fiver for fear. Again, good cast and just enough good in that movie to keep me in. The final one of the Fiverr Dimer, backed by popular demand, The Wrestler. This was on cable the other day, and I found myself watching it again. JC, for me, it's going to be a dimer the more they put it on. I hasn't reached dimer status yet, but when it's on, I'm in. And as a side note, Mickey Rourke, when we were kids, was in 9.5 weeks with Kim Basinger. I'm just going to leave it at that. If you're a certain age and you saw that movie as a teenager on cable, it might have changed your life. Mickey Rourke at that time had done Diner. He was like the heartthrob guy. He was on like a Tom Cruise trajectory. Mickey Rourke was this lean, slick, good-looking, decent actor that the sky was the limit. I don't know what happened to Mickey. I've heard interviews with him. I think he had some issues with drinking and maybe drugs. And in this movie, and in every movie since, he has, look, everybody in Hollywood, let's just say, has had a little work done, little nip, little tuck. Mickey went full-on metamorphosis. He's not even the same species. I'm serious when I say this. I don't know that he went in there and he's like, okay, the lady behind the desk, we've got some lip filler. That's our introductory package. We've got the unlimited Botox. That's our silver. We've got the gold, little tummy tuck. And Mickey just said he came in with a bag full of $100 bills and shoved it. Slid it on the desk toward the associate behind the counter and said, I'll take it all. Unlimited. Give me everything you've got. I don't want to look like a human anymore. Do everything you've got. And that's what they did. He doesn't look the same. He doesn't sound the same. He went from like this little suave guy to I don't know what he is anymore. And he got into boxing in real life. So his character is actually really believable. And he is jacked. It's undeniable. I wouldn't be surprised if he roided up for 3 years for the part, because he just obviously does not care about his body. I don't know if he's got dysmorphia, whatever. But it works. And the movie, which looks like they spent about $45 on it in production cost, it works because he's phenomenal in the movie. Didn't think I was going that way. Or you think I was going to just continue to pile on Mickey and his obsession with plastic surgery? No, 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 no. No, look, I'm here for it. What you want to do to your face and your body, it's not my problem. Just give me something that's entertaining. He's damn entertaining. This movie is entertaining. It's basically it's a guy completely down on his luck. The whole movie is dark. The background is cold and dark. His life is depressing. He's living in a friggin' trailer trying to sell merchandise. Not like Dion's kid at halftime before blowing a 29-0 lead, but like a poor down on his luck guy who needs to sell the Ram doll, the Ram action figure doll, so he can get enough money for gas. One of my favorite scenes when he's got to work the deli counter and then he has roid rage all of a sudden out of nowhere. It's great. And of course, the secret ingredient to this movie is Marissa Tomei. I don't even need to say anymore. This will be a dimer when I get a chance to see it a 10th time.
I'm with you. I'm almost upset I haven't seen it more because I loved it the first time. It's one of those great movies, you know, and I think I've maybe watched parts of it twice since, but that's right. Yeah, Mickey Rourke, nobody's had as much of an interesting career as he has. I did find it interesting he was friends with the late, great Tom Sizemore. They kind of have had similar paths. So,
hi, I'm crazy. I'm crazier. Let's hang out.
Nuts, nuttier than a poop house rat. So, you know, that's the deal there. But yeah, it'll be a dimer for me at one point, maybe even a Ben Franklin. But it's one that I guess there's some movies out there that I absolutely loved and I just have not seen them a whole lot just because maybe they're not on or I don't seek them out or, you know, maybe I'm lazy and we just want to watch Apocalypse Now again. I don't know, but it is one of those things. You're absolutely right about his career. What an interesting story. And that movie too, if you've ever talked to anybody that's like in professional wrestling, they'll tell you that's what it's really like.
Right.
That's what that sport or that sports entertainment, I'm not going to sit here and not call it a sport because I do think those guys are athletes.
Yeah.
But I think they're more like, you could classify it more with like professional, like theater dance, which sounds weird to some people. But I think those people that dance in the theater and or that do acrobatics like at Cirque du Soleil, I think those people are athletes and they're professionals because they get paid for it. But it's not competitive sports as we know them where, I mean, it's got a predetermined outcome. But I'll tell you this, you talk about hockey being awesome in person. I saw my wife loves wrestling. And I've never been to Nitro or Raw or anything like that. But I found a YouTube video of whatever Saturday night deal is that they do, the WrestleMania live.
Yeah.
And, dude, it's constant, like, oh! And then all of a sudden you look over here and this music starts playing. It's like, oh, my God, here he comes. And it's like, oh, my God, this. I may give that a shot at some point.
I did once. And that would also be in Columbus, Georgia, actually. And half of the show took place outside where they were filming a supposed street fight. And you're inside and you're like, I paid money for matches that are going on in the parking lot while I'm looking at an empty ring. That was the last time I ever I ever did all that. But, you know, nevertheless, by the way, Rourke started boxing when he was 12 years old. So he was actually like he's got ring experience. And I think he played the character really well. I think he was nominated for an Oscar, as well he should be.
Oh, yeah, so, it was.
Yeah, so Mickey, look, I don't understand what you're trying to morph into. Maybe a real-life alien, maybe some type of AI creature. I don't get it, but I still mad respect for your performance in The Wrestler. Mad respect as we sign off for Site Pro Rentals. If you're renting some equipment, important to have a local, easy-to-do business with friend in the industry who carries only the newest equipment. Team at Site Pro Rentals can do just that. When reliability, service, transparent pricing matter, you need to use Site Pro Rentals. The phone number is 972-RENT-NOW. That's easy to remember. 972-RENT-NOW for better equipment rental. Tell them you heard about it here on JC and Morgan. JC, great to have you back. Our thanks to the Mad Dog, Phil Mullinax. Our thanks to Chief Sports Network and all the great work that Jamie Bradford does behind the scenes. We will see you next week on another installment of JC and Morgan. So long.